Good morning, everyone. My name is Karen Chapman. I am an employee of Environmental Defense Fund, but you won't see Environmental Defense Fund's name on these slides, so I just want to point out that I am with Environmental Defense Fund. We're a conservation nonprofit organization. Our mission is to preserve the natural systems upon which all life depends. I'm going to talk to you today about a program. This is not going to be a data-heavy presentation. This is a program that EDF, my organization, started about 2 years ago. The objective of the program is, one, to be objective, and to assess fertilizer management tools and products for their ability to deliver nutrient use efficiency. Why? Why do we need such a program? Well, if you can, this is anybody that knows this farmer. He's from Ohio. His name's Todd Hesterman. He looks kind of worried in this slide, and I put his face on there for a reason. A lot of farmers are getting the finger pointed at them, and for various reasons, water quality concerns. Consumers want to know where their food is, or how their food is grown, and under what conditions. They're interested in sustainability now more than ever, even though they may not understand what the definition of that is. But farmers are also concerned about their bottom line. They have to make a profit. So how are farmers going to be sustainable and make a profit at the same time going forward is what we're concerned about. They get a lot of information every day from companies who are marketing tools and products that tell them this product will do X, Y, or Z, but they may not know, have sufficient information to be able to judge how that product would perform on their own farm. So that's another reason why we thought Nutrient Star was needed. I mentioned the supply chain. We are hearing from companies that they would like to source sustainably grown grains. Well, what does this mean? In some cases, it might mean a water quality benefit results from how that farmer grows that crop, or a nutrient reduction results from how that farmer grows that crop, and how is that quantified, and how can that be reported back up the supply chain from the farmer to all the way to a food store like Walmart who wants to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. So another way that Nutrient Star can be used is to quantify some of the delivery of benefits from those tools and products so that farmers can report that back up the supply chain. These are some of the folks that are involved with the Nutrient Star program, from both EDF and consultants. They help with a lot of the administrative aspects of Nutrient Star, provide science support, strategic planning support, and leadership support. I am not a scientist, so I need the support from the scientific community to carry out this program. These are the members of our review panel. Some of them are in this room today. And they were chosen because of, well, for several reasons. One, they're viewed as being objective. One of the stipulations that we have for serving on the review panel is that a member cannot be developing a product or a tool that might eventually end up in Nutrient Star assessment. So if a scientist is developing something, a model or a product geared toward nutrient use efficiency, then they cannot serve on the review panel. We want them to be completely objective. If you go to the Nutrient Star website, which is nutrientstar.org, you will see that we are assessing or talking with companies about assessing several different kinds of tools and products. On the left here, we have a list of products. Some of these are very familiar, the NBPT, nitropyrene products, polymer-coated ureas. Over here, we have decision support tools, AdaptN and Circa FieldView, Farmer's Edge. And then we have hardware, which consists of, for us right now, Optrix and the Y-Drop. Some of these, I would say that the products mostly we are We have completed a literature review, and the literature review was done to collect as much metadata as possible that is in the public domain, both peer-reviewed and gray literature, on the performance of these products. And we wanted to collect information about N-applied and yield and as much other metadata as we could in order to gauge the performance of these products under real-world conditions. These were all analyzed in small plot conditions. So we published several of those reports on our website now. We should have all of these reports posted in short order, actually. The literature review has been completed. We're preparing the reports for posting on the website. So most of those should have a report associated with them fairly soon. So where does the assessment data come from? I mentioned the literature review already. We are asking companies themselves, if they have data, to supply that data to us so that we can perform an assessment of nutrient use efficiency. University trials, of course, some of the small plots done on the products. We put brackets around the information that we're looking for. Some of the products have been tested in other countries. We were interested in North America, not including Mexico, because you could say Mexico is North America too, but the U.S. and Canada primarily, major commodity crops for right now. That means corn and wheat for us, because we're looking primarily at nitrogen use efficiency tools. And we wanted minimum data that we could use for partial factor productivity calculation. We also are interested in looking at profitability, so we're looking at how we can make that calculation as well. And then we have our own network of farmers and consultants who perform trials. The review panel has stipulated a protocol for the trials. This, at least two seasons of data, so we're talking about 2 years. In those 2 years, you can have conditions ranging from very wet to very dry. So maybe 3 years in some cases. It really depends on what the conditions are when those trials were conducted. They're interested in production scale trials, specifically what you can harvest with a combine, the length of the field, and replicated to eliminate noise in the data 3 to 4 times. So we're talking about 12 to 16 strips across the field, randomized to capture the treatment effect. And also, we'd like to collect the metadata, particularly the environmental conditions surrounding that trial and the management conditions, what the farmer was actually doing. This is an example of our trial design. I would say, so what we typically do in our own trials is we compare to the farmer practice. That is what we prefer, because not all farmers follow university recommendations. So we would like to see, under real-world conditions, if farmers doing what they normally do, how does this tool or product compare? How does it improve nutrient use efficiency? We also want to build a response curve to see where the EONR is. So we use the farmer normal rate plus 50 pounds, farmer normal rate minus 50 pounds, the tool or product recommendation, and then the farmer normal rate, and that is replicated 4 times across the field. I would say this is the ideal Cadillac field trial. We're not going to get this kind of data from all of the companies, and we can be flexible on the trial design because not all companies and not all researchers use this trial design right now. However, for us, this delivers the best and most robust data set possible that gives us what we are looking for. As an example, if you heard Harold's presentation, you could see that that was the trial design that they used, more or less. Our initial program participant was AdaptN when we started this program in 2014. They had data from 2011 to 2014, so we took that data. We were able to put it together and do a calculation of nutrient use efficiency. It's the most complete data set that we've received so far. We were able to calculate the partial factor productivity from that data set. And here's an example of what we're looking at. You can see this is where we want to be. We've got positive nutrient use efficiency, and we have positive profit. So what we're interested in is getting down here, okay? We're not, we've got positive NUE in 91 trials out of 113, but we want positive profit as well. Farmers are not going to be interested in using a tool if it reduces their profitability. So for us, this is the most important figure. This is what we want to say with the data. What do these tools deliver in terms of profitability and in terms of nutrient use efficiency? As an environmental organization, this is what interests us. However, this is what interests farmers as well. So we would not be doing ourselves, we would be doing a disservice if we didn't share this information with farmers so that they could make better decisions that correspond with what they are interested in as well. This is just an example of our data collection sheet. You can see we're trying to get as much information as possible to make those calculations that we want to make without making it overwhelming for the farmer. This is what we ask companies to fill out when they are submitting data to us on if they want us to assess a tool or a product. So this is basically what we're asking for. It's available on the website for companies to fill out. I mentioned that we have our own testing network. These mark the places where we have trials and consultants conducting trials right now. We're looking to expand this network. What we would like to be able to do, these consultants and farmers, by the way, they have been trained in the protocol for these field trials and in data collection techniques so that we know that we're getting the best data possible. We'd like to expand this network to include some areas further west and work in collaboration with companies to conduct trials along the lines of what we're talking about, using the protocol that NutrienStar has established in various places across the Corn Belt so that we can get the best amount of data possible. And I'm just going to touch really quickly on the technology extrapolation domains, which is a new component of the NutrientStar program. This is based on some work that Dr. Ken Kassman's team did at University of Nebraska-Lincoln in support of the global yield gap analysis. What we're trying to do here is combine climate zones with soils information to come up with an agro-eco-regional framework that can help us both site trials across the Corn Belt to capture as many locations as possible, but also capture those locations where companies want to target their trials to reach their target audience, and also coverage of corn production in the Corn Belt. And this is just, actually, this just to explain, these are Agritain trial locations. We took all of the product reports and we plotted the trial locations on this TED framework. This will be available on our website in early 2017. It will be an interactive, it's not shown here, but it will be an interactive framework so that companies can go on the website and they can enter GPS locations, see which agro-ecoregion that trial falls in, and also plan, if they would like to site trials in other agro-ecoregion locations. And so our next steps, we want to be able to present data uniformly and fairly for each of the companies. We're going to come up with a standardized presentation format. We want to increase our collaboration with the companies that I mentioned in the previous slide. We want to expand our test sites and also prioritize new products for assessment and education. Thank you.